Today, the Great Australian Savings Account Rip-Off. Hello again, it's Martin Uth from Digital Finance and the latest one that is post covering finance and property news. Well, if you have savings with a bank in Australia, it's highly likely you're being ripped off. After all, Australian consumers depend on retail deposit products to conduct their everyday banking, to safely store about $1.4 trillion of their savings, and importantly, to earn a decent return on those funds. But, as I've often highlighted in recent shows, changes in the cash rate, often referred to as the official interest rate via the RBA, and which is the rate paid on lending between banks in the overnight cash market, only indirectly affects the costs of funding from retail deposits and the interest rates paid on retail deposit products. In fact, banks are very quick to lift interest rates on mortgages, but have been significantly less market-driven in terms of deposit rates, with many savers losing out. Yet, relatively few consumers switch deposit products, despite there being a range of alternatives available offering better interest rates and better conditions. This loyalty tax means consumers often see significantly less than they should on many deposits, which of course boost bank profits significantly. So now, the ACCC has just completed a report on retail deposit accounts. And in conducting this inquiry, the ACCC was directed by the Treasurer to consider interest rates paid on retail deposits, including with reference to differences between customer segments and the differences between advertised interest rates and the actual rates paid to customers. Any terms and conditions on which retail deposit products are supplied, other than interest rates, including fees and charges, and restrictions on access to deposited funds. Bank strategies in relation to retail deposit products, including approaches to setting interest rates on retail deposit products and supplier decisions following changes to the RBA's cash rate target, including the timing of announcing interest rate changes and implementing those changes, and the differences in approach between setting interest rates on retail deposit products and lending products, such as home loans, and the nature and extent of price and non-price competition in the supply of retail deposit products, including barriers to entry and expansion, innovation, and factors affecting customer switching to alternative retail deposit products, including the extent and existence of supplier practices and strategies that may inhibit switching, consumer behavior, and the availability of information on products. And then retail deposit products such as a source of funding for suppliers, provision of credit, including their significance and cost compared with other funding sources, and the differences relating to the size and business model of the supplier. Very significant scope and very important. Now, in its Retail Deposit Inquiry final report that was released last Friday, the ACCC said banks' pricing for many retail deposits, including those with introductory bonus interest rates, made comparisons difficult, and many customers did not actually receive the higher rates on offer. For example, it found that 71% of bonus interest rate accounts, which have total balances of around $300 billion, did not receive the bonus amount on average each month in the first half of 2023. While high headline interest rates may seem attractive to customers, they can come attached with conditions that are hard for customers to meet and keep track of, the ACCC said. And during the inquiry, we were concerned that several banks could not tell the ACCC how many of their customers had missed out on bonus interest or which specific conditions they failed to meet. In fact, the ACCC gathered information and documents on retail deposit products from 14 of the largest banks in Australia, which collectively hold more than 90% of household deposits. This included seeking information directly from those banks as to their retail deposit products and from APRA and the RBA, as well as reviewing the information available on the public bank websites. The ACCC also engaged SEC Newgate Research to undertake a consumer survey to gain insight into how consumers use and understand their retail deposit products, as well as their general attitudes and preferences in relation to those products. And the inquiry also pulled on information that was publicly available from Australia and overseas. In particular, they considered information on products and pricing from a number of bank and comparison websites, along with material from financial services regulators and others. And they concluded that there are a range of different types of accounts, including transaction accounts, saving accounts, and term deposit accounts. And they can also include account offsets, cash management accounts, and those linked to self-managed superannuation funds. But confusingly, there are also many different types of interest rates for retail deposit products, and they are not necessarily mutually exclusive. For example, bonus interest rates may be tiered by balance range, similar to tiered interest rates, and banks can also make changes to the structure of their interest rate schedules. For example, changes in the size and number of tiers, adding complexity for consumers. In addition, banks also often offer particular transaction and savings accounts targeting specific consumer segments, for example, young adults and students, pensioners, or occupations such as healthcare providers. These products can have different features and interest rates from very similar products at the same bank. For example, several banks offered a transaction account product for retirees over 55 years of age that pay interest, while their main transaction product for other customers types does not. And the ACCC said that the variety of interest rate types added a layer of complexity for consumers. And that's especially so for bonus interest rates, which depend on the future behavior of consumers, and which mean that consumers may not receive interest at the headline interest rate if they don't meet relevant conditions. Now, this is my view typically seen across the financial system overall, from mortgages through to deposits. It's deliberately designed to confuse customers by swamping them with choices and by design to maximize the returns to the banks. In fact, many people do not have the expertise to shop around all the time and pick the best deals continually. So savers are the losers and banks the winners again. So the ACCC findings highlights that despite the importance of transaction accounts, saving accounts and term deposits, the ongoing challenges consumers face in searching for, comparing and switching between products means that consumer engagement with the market for retail deposit products is relatively low. This low level of engagement means many consumers miss out on earning more on their savings, they said. Retail deposits are also essential to banks as a stable and relatively cheap source of funding. Banks on average rely on household deposits for close to 30% of their funding needs, with some banks, especially mutuals, more dependent on retail deposits than others. Banks compete for deposit funding primarily through the interest rate they offer for deposits. The bank's incentive to minimize their retail deposit funding costs through low interest rates is in part constrained by the extent to which consumers can actively switch between products and banks. And the inquiry examined how banks made their interest rate decisions against the background of their funding requirements and the changes in the cash rate target set by the RBA. The cash rate is not paid directly by the RBA to the banks, nor is it a regulated rate that banks must receive from borrowers or pay to depositors when setting their retail deposit product interest rates. And the banks also consider their broader funding requirements, profitability, economic and regulatory factors, likely customer responses, and the competitive landscapes when setting their interest rates. Now, they said that there was very little evidence of aggressive broad-scale price competition, especially from larger banks. Instead, banks tend to pursue strategic pricing practices at an individual product or even customer level. These pricing strategies take advantage of consumers' inertia and other biases to reduce the overall cost of their deposit funding, they said. And this includes segmenting their customers through product design and conditional rates, leading to significant differences in rates between products, even within the same bank. And banks have relied heavily on conditional and time-limited interest rate offers in recent years. Increases in headline interest rates for savings products are often driven by increases in a bonus interest rate or introductory interest rate rather than the base interest rate. The conditional nature of bonus interest rates and introductory interest rates means that the amount of interest actually received by consumers, that is the effective interest rate, can be considerably lower than the headline interest rate. They found that about 71% of bonus interest rate accounts did not receive the bonus interest rate on average each month over the first 6 months of 2023. The effective interest rate achieved across bonus interest rate accounts since the middle of 2019 are shown in this chart. And notably, the effective interest rate received when averaged by the number of accounts is even lower than when averaged by the value of deposits in accounts. And they also found that banks' pricing strategies include below-the-line pricing, offering targeted specials to particular customer cohorts and negotiating more generous interest rates with individual customers who are of higher value to the bank. Now, of course, it's the market, they say. The banks are free to set their own interest rates. Paying different interest rates to different customers with the same product is not inherently anti-competitive, but in markets with low consumer engagement and high searching and switching costs, the lack of transparency over widespread selective pricing means that many benefits of competition are confined to segmented groups of consumers rather than consumers more generally. And widespread strategic and selective pricing also adds difficulty for consumers when seeking to locate key product information and to compare market offerings. This lack of transparency may also damage consumer confidence in the market, they said. Given the range of factors that banks take into account and the strategic pricing approaches they employ when setting their retail deposit rates, the interest rates received by consumers do not automatically follow movements in the cash rate target. And here's a chart that shows the effective interest rates across all accounts for different product types. Notably, average effective interest rates for term deposits and bonus interest rate accounts were above the cash rate target from 2020 until the middle of 2022, but were both below the cash rate target as at June 2023. So while I've been arguing for some time that households should be more proactive in selecting specific savings vehicles and be prepared to negotiate or switch for better rates, the ACCC made 7 recommendations designed to increase transparency, to support decision making, support more effective consumer engagement, and to reduce barriers to consumers switching to drive competition. They specifically recommended continued monitoring of prices and competition in the retail deposit market. They recommend that consumers should be provided with an alert if they are about to breach bonus interest rate conditions, that banks should be required to record and report bonus rates achieved for their products, that there should be clearer disclosure of introductory interest rates and alternatives, that banks should tell consumers directly when they change interest rates and prompt them to consider switching for a better rate, but the comparison sites should be more transparent about any commercial arrangements they have with banks, and that the Australian government should review the merits of bank account portability. Now, the Australian Banking Association said in response that with more than 900 transaction savings deposit products available across the country, banks understand that at times some consumers may be confused about what products are best for them. The association said it needs time to consider the recommendations with members before developing an informed view on them. Banks always focus on making improvements to product offerings in the best interest of the consumers and will consider each of the recommendations of the ACCC report, they said. Now, the ACCC also criticised comparison websites for not disclosing clearly any commissions they might be receiving from banks. It called for comparison sites, which included RateCity, Canstar and Mozo, to clearly and prominently display banks they receive payments from and on what basis and how product ratings are determined. Earlier on, banks and their investors, though, warned of potentially devastating effects to the economy from this probe into deposit pricing and suggested it could threaten the stability of the financial system and even crush the sector's way for thin profit margins. In submissions published by the ACCC, banks said the deposit market is highly competitive and points to a range of products, including term deposits, offering higher interest rates than transaction accounts, and CBA warned that making it harder to raise retail deposits could increase risks in the banking system if it forced banks to seek more money from volatile capital markets. Deposits provide banks with about 60% of their funding to write loans for mortgages and businesses. A high proportion of bank funding from deposits rather than capital markets contributes to lower exposure to volatility through economic cycles, and this sets Australian banks apart globally, the CBA said. A portfolio manager at Allan Gray, Sunus Nuak, said a focus on deposit pricing was only one side of the story and ignored the most important metrics for banks' returns on equity, which was not particularly high. A focus on higher savings rates risks changes that will almost certainly have huge, we're assuming unintended, consequences for all Australians, Dr. Nuak said. It would be akin to throwing stones in a vacuum glass house. The consumer group Choice called for a legal duty that forced banks to automatically switch customers to the best rate on offer to reduce the loyalty tax on long-standing customers. Other big banks described the deposit market as highly competitive, as evidenced by declining long-term net interest rate margins, high levels of switching between banks, and various innovations and features, including those protecting consumers from fraud. The NAB actually said that the competition inquiry might even rub up against prudential regulation administered by APRA, which seeks to ensure banks are sufficiently profitable to protect customers through rules on the stability of deposits. The prudential regulations also result in different types of deposit holdings, different stability weightings, which impact the way in which they're valued by banks, NAB said. And Westpac said deposit pricing was based on factors beyond the RBA cash rate, including the cost of providing services and shareholder returns. The banks seek to ensure that its deposit pricing is competitive in order to retain and attract retail deposits by meeting customer and shareholder expectations and to achieve Westpac's funding needs, including funding mix between deposits and wholesale funding, it said. And meanwhile, ANZ said banks were being forced to compete harder for deposits, which could put upward pressure on interest rates paid to savers since the expiry of pandemic-era low-cost funding from the RBA. High levels of uncertainty in global economic and monetary conditions, including due to the impact of persistent inflation and higher cash rates, have put a rocket under wholesale funding costs, according to the ANZ. These recent changes in wholesale funding markets are driving competition among banks to attract deposits to support lending, including competition on the pricing of savings and term deposits products, it said. And Alan Gray says any outcome of the inquiry that forced banks to lift deposit rates would trigger higher rates on home loans because they would be the only way to ensure banks can maintain meaningful shareholder returns. And of course, rates are already at a decade high after the RBA has lifted the cash rate many times in the last 18 months. Banks do not currently make unacceptably high returns, even before one adjusts for the risks they assume. Tinkering with the liability side of their balance sheet risks likely changes to the asset side of their balance sheet, with potentially devastating effects on the economy, he said. Scary times, according to the analysts. But, of course, they're only looking at it from the bank's point of view, not from the consumer's point of view. And in fact, the Association of Independent Retirees encouraged the ACCC to maintain scrutiny, suggesting deposit pricing showed signs of banks acting in concert, but also evidence of healthy competition. We've now entered a period where interest rates are increasing, but for depositors, the increases have been smaller and slower to implement when compared to banks' approaches to increasing lending rates, for example, mortgage loans, the association said. All banks seem to follow a similar pattern of charging interest rates on deposits to suit their income or net interest margins requirements rather than supporting the depositors' income requirements, they said. So standing back, 3 points. Firstly, savers, you should shop around continually to find the best deals. Don't set and forget and read the small print. Secondly, it is clearly not transparent enough, and so there are recommendations from the ACCC should be implemented and quickly. And third, I think the role of the comparison sites and the commissions that they earn is a particular problem, because it does appear that some do get paid to make some recommendations. So are they actually providing the best outcomes? Not sure. But the bottom line is this. If you are a depositor with money in the banks, it's down ultimately to you to find the best deals. It's worth it because you can boost your income significantly if you do. But of course, the banks are making it extremely difficult, and it's the same old bank behavior. Swamp them with many different options and choices to the point where people don't know which way to turn. This is quite typical of the banking system. And this report, of course, calls it all out. The question is, will anything change? Well, frankly, I have to doubt it. But the thing that can change is individual consumers making better decisions by getting better informed and realizing that if you do make better decisions, you can boost your income. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.